Let's pray. Lord God, you have broken your silence. We pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will not only be acceptable while we are in this place, but more importantly, when we go out into this world. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Our scripture this morning comes from John, the first chapter, the 14th verse. Hear now the word of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. What a journey this Advent 2022 has been. We've watched the stories of that first Christmas in video form through the skit guys. Along the way, we've tried to make sure, tie everything together. We wrote litanies to light the Advent wreath, and words tried to attach the word for the week with the video and the sermon and all of those things. It's been a difficult Advent. We began on the 27th of November, no sooner than Thanksgiving was over. We were decorating. And then on the 27th, we showed up, and it was the Sunday of hope. We were hoping we had done everything we had to do because it seemed like it was coming quick. And then that first Sunday, we watched a video of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, the wife of Zechariah, an elderly lady, one who believed she was past her childbearing years. And then God did what God does. He makes life in barren places. It's nothing new. God's been doing that since the creation, putting life and making life in barren places. Even in the midst of the children of Israel, they found themselves in barren places time and time and time again. They were in a barren place when they were in Egypt. They were in a barren place when they walked around and wandered in the desert for 40 years. They were in barren places when they were not following God, when they were in exile in Assyria or Babylon or wherever they were. They have been in barren places. And God has continued to do then and now what he did for Elizabeth, bring life in barren places. Life is about a series of barren places, isn't it? Maybe it's a drought. Maybe it's a recession. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's getting behind, and the behinder we get and the harder we try to catch up, we keep getting farther and farther behind. Somewhere in the midst of that, God does something. If we keep on doing what God tells us to do, God shows up and brings life to barren places. Isn't that what we're supposed to do for people? It's in the midst of their barrenness, in the midst of their desert, in the midst of their drought, help them. That second week, we encountered an innkeeper. And he said what we say all the time: if I'd have known then what I know now, I'd have done something different. If I'd have known that that lady was going, she was carrying the Son of God, I would have found, I'd have given her my own bed. He tells the story of how when he was 5 years old, that his mother told him to set the table. And she gives him one more plate than they need and said, "Ma, you gave me too many plates." She says, "Set it anyway. You never know when God's going to send somebody your way, and you need to make room for people." I sure am glad that there are people who made room for me when I was growing up. The reason you're sitting here today is because somebody made room for you. When I was in seminary taking supervised ministry, we had this retired district superintendent teaching, and he was an adjunct professor, and he said, one of the things we had to do was keep a 24-hour log and diary of what we did every hour, how long we slept, all our appointments, everything we did, how long we studied, whatever it was, and we had to do that for a good long while. I did a lot of copying and pasting, but that's what we had to do. And then one day he made the comment in class and said, you can fill out your schedule, your day planner. You can fill up with all these things that you're going to do, and you think that's ministry, and some of it is, but the most meaningful and powerful ministry you will do in your whole ministry is those interruptions that come your way. And you'll get to the end of the day, sometimes you'll think, I never got anything accomplished today because I was interrupted so many times. And he said, if you stop long enough and think about it, those interruptions are the most meaningful ministry you have done. Making room for other people. Because somebody made room for you. Third week, we met the shepherds. Nobodies. Absolutely nobody. Nobody liked them. Nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted them nearby. I don't think shepherds smell very good, personally. And in the midst of that, God chose somebody, the most unlikely, to be the first evangelist. That's amazing. You think he would have gone to the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post or CNN, somebody, Fox News, somebody to be the first evangelist. But he went to a shepherd. And the good news was that not only that God chose the shepherd, he chose us too. Because the good news of Jesus Christ is for everyone. It was interesting. God chooses the strangest people. People who are too young, people who are too old, people who are poor, people. He chooses all kinds of people. David was the youngest of the children of Jesse. You name it. They were all kinds of people that had been chosen. And he chose us as well. It's hard to imagine that in 1910, there was a girl born who is an Albanian Indian girl in the middle of nowhere who one day would win the Nobel Peace Prize, Mother Teresa. If you would have thought that somebody would be as well known and well respected all over the world because of her values, her Christian life, you maybe not would have, you wouldn't have thought of her in 1910, but she was chosen. She acted. She answered the call. The fourth Sunday, last Sunday, we looked at Mary, the mother of Jesus. Some call her the mother of God, because she is, and we believe that Jesus is God. So she, in a way, is the mother of God. In our video, we watched Mary be humbled and how she admired and loved Joseph. There's so many things that Joseph could have done, but the thing he did was love her. And she was humbled by it. And not only had Joseph changed her, baby Jesus changed her too. She knew that he was going to make great changes. And we know it too, don't we? That old saying was, you think I'm bad now, you should have known me before I knew Jesus. And there are countless numbers of people who need to know Jesus and be changed like Mary was changed, like we have been changed. And then last night we saw Joseph. He could understand why he chose Mary. He could understand that completely. She was so special. But God chose him as well. Then there are the wise men today, and how did he know that God had been silent for 400 years? The reason and how you do that is you got to be listening. If you don't pay any attention to God or anything else, you won't know if they're speaking or quiet. And I think one of the things that we need to do as much as anything is listen as much or more than we talk. Listen to see what God wants us to do and how we're to do it, how we're to love, how we're to minister, how we're to do all those things, because listening is important. I really truly believe that it's in listening, in prayer, meditation, reading the Word, that you can hear the Word of God speak to us, and the sanctifying grace of God can work on us and move us to where we need to be. And in the midst of this, of trying to challenge all of us to do these things, we also need to stop, because today is the last Sunday of 2022. And in the midst of that is a time of also reflection, because I stopped and I started thinking about all the ways that you have been Jesus to so many people. Really. Because God was making life in your barren places. He was. You made place a place in your life for other people. These are some of the things I am thankful for this year around here. I saw a lot of great work by our administrative committees, the church council, the executive council. I saw the trustees deal with a lot of stuff. You'd be surprised the things that they don't publicize that they're working on. We got a sinkhole in the back parking lot. Y'all might know that. But that sinkhole, we're trying to figure it out. It's not an easy thing, and it's not an easy fix, and you got to be careful. And so they're diligently working on trying to figure that out. We got a project to get new signage and signs, and that's a hard thing to get your arms around, but it's going to be good when they finish. We had a flood down in the choir room when a pipe burst and did a lot of damage. Then we had another kind of semi-flood in the choir room when a pipe in the concrete broke. Now we don't have hot water up here. We're working on that. We've got a couple of leaks they're working on. There's a lot of things going on around here that the trustees are working hard to figure out and working, and that is a good thing. They're going to get fixed. They even put light switches in the fellowship hall. That is the best thing that they ever did. All the trustees through the 50-whatever years, they didn't solve that problem. But this year's trustees did, and they should be awarded a gold medal. Staff Parish Relations Committee worked hard building relationships and with the staff and with the congregation. They did incredible work most of last year, and I believe we will reap the benefits of that. We are reaping the benefits of that now and in beyond. The Finance Committee has done a yeoman's job managing the finances and continuing to codify and refine our procedures and working to simplify the way we can work online and those things. Missions. We were able to do Rise Against Hunger packing event again. And there were people who had never done that, and they got to enjoy that packing 20,000 meals in about 2 hours. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. Already on the calendar for this March, so that's a great thing. We've doing Backpack Buddies. We've gone from 25 of those a week to 30 a week. It's going well. It's working with those providing those meals. Continue the cross-cultural ministries, working with them for school supplies for all their 150-plus kids that go through their after-school program. Work with them again at Christmas, providing Christmas presents for those kids. Wonderful thing. Plus the school supplies for Kingsley and also the other school down the street. Chestnut, excuse me. I had a moment. Pastor's Discretionary Fund. I'm grateful for the people who make donations to the Pastor's Discretionary Fund through money they place here at the chancel during communion, and people who give gifts. That money we use to give for people in need who walk up, who might show up on a Sunday, might show up during the week, and there's no money in the budget, and that helps us to be able to help them. It also helps some of our members who find themselves in situations where they need counseling or they need something, and we are able to help them get help that way. And so I'm grateful for those of you who help support that fund. Our hospitality and evangelism, I'm grateful for those greeters who show up each week and those who man the Sunday school classes and people who man the cookie table and do the coffee and all those things. That is a great way for us to see the love of God. I'm grateful for those in congregational care who pray and visit and sign cards and send cards and call people, take poinsettias to people. It's a great ministry. I'm grateful for the members and those who write notes to people who are sick and visitors and those who are unable to be here each Sunday. I'm grateful for the staff and the way they live out their faith, every single one of them, in the way they do ministry. I'm grateful for the music. For Alan and Jackie at 8:45 and occasionally Sherry and those who help here at 8:45. Well, this isn't 8:45, but and the 11 o'clock service with Luke and Sherry and Lauren and Sarah and Mary Beth and Nathan and Maxine and others who participate in that. I am so grateful for theirs. For the people upstairs, if you've watched the online screen, they do a great job. They really do. Karen and Max Mayer and Nathan and Cora Scherer, Maxine Spencer, Cameron Nadler, Greg Scherer, and Keith Parks. Keith Parks also runs the basketball program, and he's doing a great job. I'm grateful for him. John Wesley Choir. We were here last week or so. They did a great job, Claire and Fannie Lou, and then support with Jessica and the Little Angels. Or like we call them, the Kingswood Trio. They do a great job with Kara, and they're just fun to see. The Altar Guild and the Worship Committee helping decorate and keep everything going and doing stuff for communion. You see it everywhere. Our prayer teams between congregational care and Gary Fuller and Barbara Prayer, they do a great job keeping us prayed up. Our Wednesday night suppers, those people who set up and those who clean up. Our preschool. I'm grateful for those who teach Sunday school and all those who attend those various classes. I'm grateful for family and children ministries and everything that Jessica leads and those people who teach and from Sunday school to vacation Bible school and all the people who help do that. Our church Christmas party, worship care, the nursery, worship sheets. Fabulous job. For the youth ministries and all those adults who come up here every week, either teaching Sunday school or working with the youth in the afternoons, great job. They go on fall retreats, the Rooted Retreat, Spiritual Life Retreat, small groups, wonderfully made. We do it. Confirmation. It's a great thing. Going caroling. That is a wonderful thing that the youth have been doing here for years, and look at the faces of those we go sing to is just an amazing thing. And all these ministries and missions, the love and care of God can be seen in each participant, each leader. And in doing so, we can and are blessed, and we are a blessing. In a world of great division, we can be one individually and one as a group. Of being on God's team, of practicing his love to a world that's starving for it. It's a beautiful thing. Because in doing it, in living out our faith, we share hope and peace and joy and love. And I am grateful to do that with you. Amen. Thank you for being here. Thank y'all for being here. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus Christ. And next year, we got to start all over again. Let us pray. Lord God, we are so grateful for the ways in which you have moved and are working in each of us. Some of us need to make more space for you. Some of us are in barren places, and we need to see life. There are some of us who know what it's like to be in barren places, and you know the life you've given us, and they have eyes to see those who are in barren places, and we pray for them. May we all know that you've chosen us, that you love us, that you love everyone, the whole world. So help us, oh God, to make sure that everyone knows that they are loved and you have a plan for them. Thank you for this year. Thank you for this season. And we thank you most for Jesus. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.